Welcome again to the stream. It's good to be together today on Cookout Sunday. We're so glad you're here to worship with us. My name's Kevin. I'm the pastor here. And, if you were here with us last week, you know that we played an impromptu game of Jeopardy. And we played in the category of Bible trivia. And I have to admit, the response was so overwhelmingly positive that I couldn't resist us not playing again this morning. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give the answer, you give the question. But what we're going to do is we're going to do like the final Jeopardy version, okay? So please don't shout out your answer. Please write your answer down in your bulletin or just keep it to yourself until after this theme music ends. Are you ready? Here we go. This is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. That's the answer. You come up with the question. I love that part. Are we ready? What did you come up with? Yes, congratulations. If I had donuts for everyone, I'd give you one. But we have a cookout, so how about a burger and a hot dog instead? I'll give everyone that after the message. Thanks for being here today. Yeah, somebody told me that's an easy one, and they're right. I tried it out on somebody this morning. It is an easy one, but great job. Well, let's chat a little bit about Psalm 119 as we continue our series this morning in the Psalms. And this is a chapter that, yes, is indeed the longest chapter. It is the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the entire Bible. There are 22 stanzas of 8 verses apiece, each stanza. It follows what is called an acrostic pattern with the Hebrew alphabet. So I actually brought my Hebrew Bible this morning, and I thought I would do a little show and tell. And I'm going to pass this around. And an acrostic pattern is that it literally each stanza, the first word of each verse in each stanza of 8 begins with a corresponding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So imagine a psalm that began, the first 8 verses all began with the letter A, if we were in English. And then the next 8 verses all began, each verse began with the letter B, and then C and D, that kind of thing. But it follows the Hebrew alphabet instead. So you can imagine that must have been quite a challenge. I mean, you would need to be inspired by God to write this and to make every word fit with similar sounds and similar letters, that sort of thing. So I'm actually going to pass this around. And the Hebrew Bible, you actually read right to left. So start to the right side of the page on the bottom. Turn towards the left. It's marked right here. And I just want you to notice that the first letter of each stanza starts with a corresponding Hebrew alphabet. When you're done, you can just leave it in the back. But I just think that's interesting. It's really cool to see. And these similar sounds, these similar beginning of each verse with the same letter in the stanza was very, very helpful to God's people in memorization and in meditation and in contemplating and studying the Word of God, right? I mean, think of a song that you know from like elementary school. You know all the words still because it was put to music and it had similar sounds and maybe it rhymed, that sort of thing. Well, that's the beauty of Hebrew poetry, which the Psalms often were. And these were songs that were sung to God and praised to Him. And in this psalm in particular, it very much emphasizes praising God for His Word. So God's people would sing and pray the Psalms. So what I also would like to do this morning is something a little bit different. This is a long chapter. And so what I thought would be fun for us to do today is, as God's people used to pray the Psalms, as they used to sing the Psalms, and we're not going to ask you to sing the Psalms this morning, though we did sing a song this morning that's straight from this psalm. Thy word comes straight from this psalm. We're going to actually read this entire psalm together. Okay? So if you have a phone, please turn in a Bible app or on your phone to the English Standard Version of Psalm 119, or if you have your own Bible, turn there. Hopefully it's going to be the English Standard Version, so we're not using different words. But for your convenience, and the sound person in the back is going to assist you, Dave or Jabez is going to help us, I have every verse on the screen. And it's in four at a time. It's not a whole stanza. I couldn't fit eight verses. So it's a half a stanza each time. You can follow along on the screen, and I'll kind of lead us out. But I literally want us to read this together. And just as a sense of, if it's okay with you, if you're comfortable, if you're uncomfortable, you can stay seated. But I would like us, in reverence of God's word, to all stand together, please. And we are going to take the time to read Psalm 119. Now, as you do this, and as we do this together, you might actually feel something, okay? You're going to feel, if you do feel something, that's the Holy Spirit stirring your heart in awe for how great God and His Word are as we do this together as God's people. Amen? Let's do this. Here we go. Psalm 119 from the English Standard Version. It begins like this. Here we go. We ready? I'm fine. Let's do this. I've got it on a sheet of paper here. It's a little bigger. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then shall I have an answer for him who taunts me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your rules. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I shall walk in a wide place, for I have sought your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame. For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked, who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me, according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the insolent be put to shame, because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, that they may know your testimonies. May my heart be blameless in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth. But I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. I have seen a limit to all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the age, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your promise, that I may live, and let me not be put to shame in my hope. Hold me up, that I may be safe, and have regard for your statutes continually. You spurn all who go astray from your statutes, for their cunning is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Give your servant a pledge of good. Let not the insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act, for your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness and in all faithfulness. My zeal consumes me because my foes forget your words. Your promise is well tried, and your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. Trouble and anguish have found me out, but your commandments are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. With my whole heart I cry, answer me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I call to you, save me, that I may observe your testimonies. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promise. Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord. According to your justice, give me life. They draw near who persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Long have I known from your testimonies that you have founded them forever. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. I rejoice at your word, like one who finds great spoil. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I hope for your salvation, O Lord, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Amen. Wow, have a seat, please. Catch your breath. Yeah. Well, look, first of all, that's not something we do every Sunday here, but I wanted us to do that because this is what God's people did when they would read his word. And yes, it's a lengthy one, but for some of you, you probably were maybe into it at the beginning and maybe it was hard to stay focused. But for others of you, it's almost like the more we did it, maybe you got going more and more. But the point is that probably as we read God's word, there were certain verses that the Spirit kind of stirred in your heart. Did that happen? Were there certain verses that maybe resonated with you in your heart in terms of what God's doing in your life right now? And that's the cool thing. That's the power of God's word being living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. So I wanted us to pray that. And what we did right there was we actually made that our prayer. You just prayed those things. And when you pray anything in accordance with God's will, the promise of Scripture is that he hears your prayer. God's going to hear those things that you just prayed and that we prayed together. Amen? That's awesome stuff. Okay, let's talk a little more about Psalm 119. You notice that it sings, it celebrates, it's praying plenty of principles, and really profound principles about God's word in Psalm 119. There's so many principles here that you might be wondering, how is Pastor Kevin going to preach on this today? I mean, we just took 15, 20 plus minutes almost to just read it. How is he going to preach on it? Well, don't worry. It's about 11 o'clock now. We should be done by 11 p.m. tonight. No. Look, we're going to narrow it down. So this is what I want to do. I want to look at 12 truths. Yes, that's a lot. I narrowed it down. We're going to look at 12 truths for you and me about God's word from Psalm 119. And I'm going to try to be relatively brief on each of these 12 because I know we do want to go to the cookout. And I wanted to take a lot of our time just to pray this passage. But I'm going to point out to you some verses that jumped out at me as I studied and prayed this psalm. And I'm going to point out some verses that connect with what's here. But before we look at these 12 truths from Psalm 119, you're going to notice, you probably noticed as we read it, if you could go, you probably noticed as we read it, there's a lot of different words used. In fact, there's 8 different words utilized in this psalm that refer to God's word. These words include law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, rules, promise, and word. I'll say that again. Law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, rules, promise, and word, or words. And so those words are actually all fairly synonymous expressions in this context. In the context of this psalm that's really elevating and praising God and his word, these are pretty much used interchangeably to refer in general, not necessarily to certain parts of God's word, but rather to the inspired word of God in its entirety. Okay? So when you hear them, be careful of reducing them to just, like for example, commandments, don't reduce that just to the Ten Commandments. You see? Consider it, this is referring to all of the truth of the inspired word of God. Some of which are commands and some of which is generally just if it comes from God is true, right? So it's expressing God's word in its entirety. With that said, let's look at truth number 1 of 12. The writer of this psalm is singing, saying, and praying to God, your word is to be kept. So he's directing this as a prayer to God, and he's singing, he's praying, he's saying, your word, God, is to be kept, to be kept. I've put this as the first of the 12 truths from this psalm because though there are many themes in this psalm, we're going to look at 12, this theme is like the leadoff hitter in a baseball game. It steps right up to the plate in the very first stanza, and it comes up to the plate again and again throughout this psalm. And the idea here is that the word of God is to be kept. The first 8 verses, this first stanza with the Hebrew letter Aleph, we see this theme that the psalmist, the inspired by God writer, is saying and singing and praying to God that your word is to be kept. Consider with me the number of times that the word keep or kept is used in Psalm 119. As we read it, you might have noticed that word keep or kept. There's actually three different Hebrew words utilized. I'm sorry, two primary Hebrew words. One is nazar, and it's found 10 times. And the word brings out the idea of watching over and protecting, as if you're guarding something carefully. And applied in this psalm, it refers to the importance of God's word and the diligence to which one is to heed it and to obey it. Okay? So God's word is not just to be known. It's not just to be information. It's not just to just be something that you learn about. It's to be kept. It's to be applied. And then there's another Hebrew word that's actually used more. It's used 21 times. So 10 times Hebrew nazar, which is translated keep or kept, and 21 times Hebrew word shamar, which also brings out the same idea of watching over, caring for, guarding, and observing. These Hebrew words are essentially synonymous. The idea is that God's word is to be kept. It's telling you and me that how we live is important. We are not just to be scholarly students of God's word. We are to keep it. We are to live it out in our life. And this psalm, perhaps more than any other psalm, really hammers home this point. This leadoff hitter hits a home run. And he comes up again and he keeps getting on base because he is emphasizing this again and again in the psalm. I mean, look at all the reference. This is not exhaustive. I mean, these are just some of the places the word is used. I mean, we've 31 times? 31 times, two different Hebrew words, 31 times he's emphasizing just with the word keep. And there's other phrases that are used to emphasize living it out. These are just some of them. So let's look at a few of them. Let's start with the very first two verses. Blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. And this idea of walking in means living. You're to walk. You're to live out the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord. Verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Do you want to be blessed? Keep God's word. Walk in it. Live in it. Live it out. Go down to verse 5. He prays, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Keeping God's word is something the psalmist, the writer of the psalm, wants to be steadfast in doing. He knows the benefits and blessings that come from doing so, and he's praying and asking God to help him to live it out. And then verse 9, classic verse. How can a young man, meaning a young person, man or woman, and it's not just young, it's everybody, but it's especially applied to the young, to young people. How can a young person keep his way pure? It literally says, how can a young man keep his way pure? But we're applying it to person. By guarding it, Hebrew shamar, according to your word. That word translated guarding is the same word as keeping. Okay? So do you want to be pure? Here's how. Guard your way of life according to the word of God. God's word is to be kept. Your word is to be kept, we prayed. Number 2 of 12. The second truth that the writer of this psalm is saying, singing and praying to God. He says to God, your word is to be studied and learned. To be studied and learned. A second truth that predominates all over the place in this psalm is an appeal to God to teach him. He wants to be taught. He wants to learn. He says it again and again. The sheer number of times teach is used in this psalm, we have, again, two Hebrew words. One of them is used 13 times, lamad. The other is used twice, yarah. Both words emphasize learning, being taught, and training, even like soldiers being trained for warfare. I know some of you in this room have been to military boot camps. Whether you've been to a military boot camp or not, you've probably seen it in the movies at least, or heard about it. How about a boot camp in God's word? The psalmist is saying that he wants to be trained. He wants to be taught, he or she. I mean, it's a he who wrote this, but we're praying to be taught, to be trained in this wonderful word of God in a way that it prepares us for the battles of living life in a fallen world. Psalm 119 calls you and me to be students of Scripture. It does not mean you need to be an expert scholar. does not mean that it's required of you to learn Greek and Hebrew. It does not mean that you're required to go get a Master's of Divinity degree. It's not requiring you to be a Bible scholar per se on an elite level. But all of us are to be scholars in the sense of meditating on, studying, learning from God and His Word. This learning is connected with faithfully keeping God's Word as we saw it in our first point. So for example, Psalm 119 verse 33 says this, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end." You see the connection with not just teaching it and learning it, but keeping it and living it out. Or consider this verse in Psalm 119, verse 97, that talks about meditating on God's Word. To meditate on it is to think about it, to contemplate it, to consider it in a continual way. Some illustrate what it means to meditate by asking this question, do you know how to worry? I'm asking you, do you know how to worry? If you do, you know how to meditate. Because what you're doing in meditation is instead of like as you're running things over again and again and again in your mind about whatever your concern is, what you're worrying about, how much more to run over and over and over again in your mind thoughts about the truths of what God's Word says. You can meditate. We're not talking about something like sitting in a certain position and meditation like you think in some spiritual New Age religion or something. We're talking about the object of our meditation is something good and wonderful. It's God's Word itself. Look what he says in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Doesn't mean he just sits there and thinks about it and doesn't do anything else like in a monastery or something. But it means it's on his mind throughout the day. Try this sometime. Try picking a verse in the morning and throughout your day, try to say it over again and again. Before the day's over, you've probably got that memorized. It starts, the roots of the truths of that word go deep in your heart and you'll find yourself sharing it with other people and encouraging them with it. And you'll find that you'll never forget it. Try that sometime. Or how about Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11? The psalmist said in these verses, we saw them already, that doing this is the benefit of keeping one's way pure as he stores up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I love that idea of your word, I've stored it up. One translation says, your word I have treasured in my heart. You know, I'm storing it up, I'm treasuring it so that I might not sin against you. It helps us to resist and turn from sin. Let's be like this psalmist. Let's be people who study, who meditate, who learn God's word. Let's be people that eagerly go to God, asking him, teach me, O Lord, your word. Three of 12. The writer of Psalm 119 is saying, singing, and praying to God. He's saying this, your word is my delight. My delight. You can't read or study or pray Psalm 119 like we did and not see that this guy is in love with God's word. He delights in it. He cherishes it. Again, he expresses his delight in God's word using the actual word delight. There's a few Hebrew words used here. Some of them have the idea of rejoicing and exalting over. The other, more generally, just to enjoy and delight in something. Let's look at a few examples. 119 verse 14, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Or verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. More than all riches, he's enjoying, exalting in, delighting in God's word, even more than were he to have all the wealth in the world. He loves God so much more than money, than thousands of gold and silver pieces. He loves God's word more than the numbers in his checking account, more than the numbers in his investment and portfolio or lack thereof. He loves God's word more. And then I love this one, Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Honey's pretty sweet, right? Yeah? I recommend it on a bowl of Cheerios. Regular Cheerios with real honey, that's the way to go, okay? You might also want to try some homemade biscuits, real butter, put some honey on that. Yeah, I know it's a lot of calories, but it sure is good. Honey is sweet, but God's word is even sweeter. Amen. Verse Verse 131, I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Have you ever seen a dog after a walk on a hot day? How about that kind of longing? A dog's longing for water. And the dog laps up that water pretty quickly. That bowl's gone quick. Even little dogs. I got little dogs. Bowl's gone quick. Filling up with more water. How about longing for God's word like that? Oh, that our desire for God's word would be so great. Oh, that you and I might love God's word. And by implication, ultimately God himself. That we might love it and love him more than anything else. May you and I love and long for God and his word more than money and more than honey. Hashtag Psalm 119. Tweet that. Number 4 of 12. The writer of Psalm 119 is saying, singing and praying to God, your word is my counselor and guide. Your word is my counselor and guide. Another great thing that this psalmist realizes, and he's really rejoicing in the reality that God's word counsels him. It guides him in his life, in all of his life. Look what he says here in verse 24. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. There's that word delight again. Could have put that in the previous point. I think it was one of the references I did. I just didn't post it up on the screen, but I didn't put that one down, did I? I should have. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. I want you to notice the word counselors here. Notice he understands that God's testimonies are his counselors. This is not to say that he can't benefit from the interaction of mentors or fellow Christians or people that give wise input into his life. It is not rejecting that. Now, some have probably misapplied this verse and said, you don't need counseling. Don't go to counseling. Just go to God's word. Well, God's word is sufficient. That's what he's saying. But God uses his word through the body of Christ to other people, right? We're to reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. God's to use us in one another's life. We're not to be isolated and alone dealing with our stuff. We're to deal with it in relationship. So it's not dismissing counseling per se here. What it is saying is that that counseling is ultimately under the authority of Scripture. And Scripture is ultimately sufficient. You can find the answers you need to what you're struggling with in God's Word. You can find the help you need for making decisions in God's Word. Now, yes, it might not tell you what exact job you should take or where you should live, but it's giving you principles to live by to guide and direct your steps in all of your life. Look at the ways he expresses in prayer here in verses 35 and 37 for God's word to guide him and help him, even to help him in turning from attention to worthless things to God's ways. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. There's that word delight again, but also notice the word lead. And then verse 37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Notice as well, in one of the most famous verses in this psalm, we sang about it this morning, your word, or the historical King James, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He prays that God will help him live consistently according to God's word, and that no iniquity or sin would have dominion over him. Look at what he says next. Keep steady my steps according to your promise. Let no iniquity get dominion over me. This is great stuff. Where do you look for guidance in your life? Where do you go? Where do you look for guidance in your life? Where do you go and what influences you the most when you make decisions? Where do you go when you are struggling and need help? Psalm 119 is telling you and me that we must consult, we must go to God's word because that is where we can find counsel and guidance. Number 5 of 12, the writer of Psalm 119 is saying, singing, and praying to God, your word is my comfort and strength in suffering. Your word is my comfort and strength in suffering. Look at how God's word helps the writer of this psalm when he is facing suffering. Verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. This guy is not just kicking back and having it going easy for him. He's facing some hardship, some significant struggle and pain and hardship. He expresses it more in verse 28, just a few verses later. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. And then verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. His situation, at least at times, was one of significant difficulty, pain, and hardship. You and I have and will face difficulty and hardship, even some significant suffering. But when you feel like your soul is clinging to the dust, when you feel like your soul is melting away in sorrow, there is strength, there is comfort, there is help, there is life for you according to God's word. God's word even gives you perspective towards suffering. Look at verse 71. It is good for me, he says. It is good for me that I was afflicted. Why? That I might learn your statutes. And then verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous. And then in faithfulness, you have afflicted me. He sees God's sovereign hand behind it. God has a sovereign good purpose for allowing us to suffer, for allowing hardship and trials in our life, to use them for his glory and our good. And then in verse 76, let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. He sees suffering here as something good in these verses, even something given as a gift by God. But because he sees it that way because he knows the suffering increases his dependence, his reliance upon God and his word. He knows that he can learn from it, and he does turn to God to find comfort in the midst of it. God's help is there for us in the midst of it. Lastly, he realizes that you and I must realize what a mess our lives would be without God's word. Could you imagine, I mean, how hard is life when you have God's word and you have God's help and you have other Christians and you have prayer? Could you imagine if you didn't have any of that? Look at what the writer of this psalm does. I think he contemplates what life would be like if he didn't have God's word. He says in verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I sometimes think, I would have perished a long time ago without God's word in my life. So I can relate to this one. I hope you can too. He delights in God's word, and he knows it's there to help him, to give him perspective, to be his comfort, to be his strength, to be something that helps him to persevere in the midst of whatever he is facing, even suffering. Number 6 of 12. He's saying, singing, and praying to God, your word provides perspective and promises when I face persecution. Little bit of overlap with my previous point here, but specifically applied to persecution, to those who would be opposed to you. Now, you and I are bound to come across people for whatever reason who will oppose us. Sometimes it might be because they're jealous, maybe they have envy, maybe they just disagree with you about something, disagree with your perspective. But sometimes people simply oppose us because they like to sin and you're trying to turn from sin. You're following Jesus. Sometimes you may face unfair treatment, slander, somebody kind of stabbing you in the back, or somebody just being rude and unkind to you, mocking you, criticizing you, etc., etc. What do? Psalm 119 provides perspective and promises when you and I face persecution. Look at verse 51. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. Or verse 69. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart, I keep your precepts. There's that word keep again. And then verse 85. The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They're digging a pit and hoping they'll fall in it. They do not live according to your law. Now the word insolent means, I had to look it up. Don't be embarrassed if you don't know what it means. I'll look it up. It means, and I quote from online dictionary, showing a rude and arrogant lack of respect, insulting in manner or speech, arrogant. So these are people who are seeking to insult you. They're being disrespectful. They're being rude, sometimes with speech, sometimes in action, sometimes in their manner, and they're being arrogant. What's easy to see here is that this psalmist, this writer of the psalm, he's undeterred. He's undeterred in his commitment to live consistently with God's word. He's not going to turn away from it. You guys can criticize me, slander me, mock me, put me down, dig a pit, hope I fall in it, whatever. You can seek to destroy me, but I'm not turning away from God's word. Now, that's an important reminder, because here's the deal. It's when we're struggling and when we feel like everyone's against us, which usually is not the case. We just feel that way sometimes. I call it stinking thinking. Those of you who have been here have heard me say that word. I also call it Eeyore talk. Don't worry about me. It's just my birthday. You know, we get down in the dumps in despair sometimes, and we feel like everybody's out to get us. We feel like we're the victim sometimes. And that's when we're vulnerable. That's when we're vulnerable to deviate from God's wonderful word that we actually delight in. That's when we're vulnerable to sin. That's when we're vulnerable to go to some unhealthy coping mechanism, which really doesn't ultimately help us cope at all. It just makes us feel worse. Look what he says. When the wicked plot evil against you, stand firm in God's word. He doesn't say that. I'm saying that. But look at how he says that. Verse 95. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies. They draw near and persecute me with evil purpose. They are far from your law. Verse 150 and verse 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. Oh, that we would be in awe of God's words, even when it feels like the world's against us. Even when people are criticizing you, mocking you, mistreating you, backstabbing you, lying, cheating to get ahead of you in the workplace or whatever it may be. Stand firm in God and his word. May you continue to keep it with your whole heart. Number 7 of 12, the writer of Psalm 119 is saying, singing and praying to God, your word gives life. God's word gives life. Ultimately, it is in God's word where God reveals his saving grace and power to us. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. The writer of Psalm 119 realizes, because God has shown him from his word, that it is God who is the one who gives him life. Now, yes, he wrote this before Jesus came. But he understands that his salvation is in God. He understands that it is God who gives him life. Look what he says in verse 37. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Tremper Longman in his commentary says that worthless things may be an allusion to idols. Now, an idol, as we've talked here a lot before at the stream, is anything that takes precedence and priority in your heart over God, that sort of crowds out your commitment to him, that competes for your affection and your attention. You and I must be careful, because there's plenty of worthless things out there in the world that are competing for our attention and our affection. We need to be careful. And I'm guessing probably we need to be much more careful than we presently are. We need to give attention to what even goes into our hearts, even to what we are looking at and what we're seeing visually. We live in a world where there's an unlimited amount of visual options bombarding us for and competing for our attention. What do you tend to visually consume? Is it appropriate? Does it distract you? With all the unlimited media and options visually around us, some of which is not necessarily bad in and of itself, it can compete for our heart's affection and our attention. It can distract us so much that we neglect our neighbor for Netflix. Or, you know, we don't meet face to face with people because of Facebook. Or rather than talk to people, we tweet. You know, I mean, we need to beware of how scrolling through the old cell phone, smartphone, is keeping us from growing in and delighting in our relationship with God. Just be careful there. The psalmist brings more throughout Psalm 119 about God's word giving him life. Look at verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Or verse 88. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. couple more here. Verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. And verse 156, great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. He knows where life is found. He knows who the author of life is. It's God. And God reveals that life to him through his word. Okay, I'm going to try to run for the barn here, okay? Giddy up, horsey. Let's go to the barn. We got four more. Five more. Your word is my hope, number eight, he says. God's word gives you hope. Could you use some hope? Yeah, at least maybe not this morning. You feel like things are going okay. You still need hope, even if you don't think you need it. We all could use some hope. Look at what he says. Here's some examples of the way he expresses hope. Verse 81, my soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. Verse 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. God's word gives hope. A hope for a future salvation, yes, that is to come, but even a hope in the present as he rises before dawn and cries for help. He's receiving hope and help for that very day, that very moment. Number nine. That was quick, huh? Got through that one quick. Number nine. The writer of Psalm 119 is saying, singing and praying to God, your word I love. I don't need to say much here, but there's some cool verses. Look at how he expresses his love and affection for God and his word. Verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold. Verse 163. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. Or verse 167, my soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. Can you say you love God's word like this? Pray as Psalm 119 prays that you will love God's word and by implication, obviously, God himself ultimately. Number 10, your word is true. He's saying, singing, and praying, God, your word is true. People question sometimes, is the Bible true? Absolutely. It says so right here in this psalm again and again and again. Look at a few expressions, just a few. Psalm 119, verse 137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and right are your rules. Verse 142. Your righteousness is righteous forever. Your law is true. Verse 151. But you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. Verse 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. God is a righteous God. He is a God of truth. God's word is inspired by him. It is inerrant, which means it is without error. You can trust and count on God's word because it is true. Number 11, the writer of Psalm 119 is saying, singing and praying to God, your word gives me wisdom. I love this verse. Well, let me ask a question first. Could you use some wisdom? Do you ever feel like you lack wisdom? You're wondering what to do. You feel stuck. Maybe you feel like you don't know enough. I love verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. God's word gives those who might see themselves as being simple. Maybe you didn't get the 4.0. Maybe you don't feel like you're an Ivy League intellectual. It doesn't matter. The unfolding of God's word gives understanding to the simple. You know, the faith of a child that Jesus so affirms, that child is sometimes wiser than a super intellectual atheist who's rejected and dismissed God and his word. Look with me at verses 97 through 100. I want to read these four verses at the beginning of the stanza meme, which each letter in the Hebrew begins with the Hebrew letter meme, which is kind of like our M. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. If you've met someone you consider wise, you likely would want to sit down and talk with them. You'd likely want to listen to what they have to say. You'd probably seek their input and try to implement it. In God's word, you and I can find wisdom that can make you and me wise. It is right there for you in his word. And lastly, number 12, the writer of Psalm 119 is saying, singing, and praying to God, telling him, your word prompts my praise. God's word prompts you to praise God. Here is just one example of the many expressions of praise in this psalm. Two verses here. My lips will pour forth praise. This is verse 171 and 172. It's in the last stanza of this psalm. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. As you study and pray God's word, realizing all of the benefits and blessings, considering these 12 truths, these profound principles about God's word that are right here in his word, it will prompt you to praise God. With that said, God's word eventually points us in the Gospels to the greatest reason to praise him. In Scripture, God reveals to us that the word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And that word, that living word, Jesus, would live a perfect life without sin, would go to a cross out of love for you and me, take upon himself the sin of the world, die on that cross, taking the penalty and punishment that you and I deserve for our sin, and rising from the dead, conquering sin and death, and bringing people like you and me into a relationship with him, that we might love and live for him, that we might be prompted to praise him and to keep his word and to know his word and apply all the things that we've seen here. You can praise God most of all for how his word shows you Jesus. May this great psalm, Psalm 119, prompt your praise by pointing you ultimately to him. May these 12 truths that are real for you and me, may they transform our lives more and more by the power of his Spirit, love, grace, and truth. We've already prayed this wonderful psalm this morning, but let's close in prayer and go into a final song of worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for how beautiful is your word. Thank you that it is there for us, that we can meditate on it day and night. Help us to be students of your word. Help us be people who love your word and live it out by your grace, for your glory, for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.